The Heart of Rural America is brought to you by the new auction platform, Bid on Beef. We invite you to buy beef the cowboy way through an honest bidding process where you have the power to pick the ranch, pick the cut, and pick the price. You are in the driver's seat, and we are excited to ship beef directly to your door. Use code WELCOME10 for your first $10 to shop when you register to bid at bidonbeef.com. Welcome to the Heart of Rural America podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Radke, an American cattle rancher and motivational speaker, raising my kids and writing children's books in South Dakota. There's a David and Goliath story unfolding in agriculture today. And I don't know about you, but my money is on the underdog, the hardworking folks who value faith, family, freedom, and their farming communities. This show will highlight the untold stories of these resilient and determined families who I have the great pleasure of meeting in my travels across this nation as an agricultural speaker. It is my hope that their stories will remind us to live with great courage because we are not alone in this fight to keep producers on the land and meat, dairy, and eggs on the dinner table. Now let's hit the dusty trail together as we uncover the heart of rural America.
Welcome to your show. Here's my mom, Amanda Radke.
Hey, everybody. It's Amanda Radke back for another episode of the Heart of Rural America podcast, the show where we highlight great people doing inspiring things in their rural communities to make agriculture and this country stronger. I'm joining you today live from the Wisconsin Dells. I just got done speaking at the, what is the title of the conference? I'm brain dead after talking for 2 hours.
The WCO MFA Symposium, 2025 Symposium.
And MFA stands for?
Midwest Forage Association.
Thank you, sir. So, okay, well, we got you here. Why don't you introduce yourself? Welcome to the show now that I've just put you on the spot.
I'm John Osterhaus. I own and operate Silver Streak Ag Services out of Chadwick, Illinois with my wife, Monica. And I'm also board president of WCO, or Wisconsin Custom Operators.
Let's talk about the conference itself. So this symposium happens every year. It's a couple days long. It is cold in the Wisconsin Dells right now.
Yes, it is.
But there's a huge crowd here. I was told about 400 attendees. So what's kind of the goal of this symposium? What's kind of the theme?
This symposium is an opportunity for anybody in the forage world and in the custom operating world in the Midwest, primarily, to come together. It's a good educational event, opportunity to listen to speakers like yourself and other speakers, talk to us about business practices, forage production practices, harvesting, all sorts of different things that revolve around our business.
Awesome. So how long have you been involved in the organization? And you're the president now, so kind of what's the focus of your term?
I've been involved about 10 years, I think about 10 years ago, maybe a little bit longer. It was the first time I attended. President in 24. I've been on the board for 2 years. I've been president for 1 year. I have one more year on my term. Our focus right now is we're trying to do a safety event. Forage harvest safety event is our big focus that we're working on. Hopefully we'll be able to do that in 2026. Joint venture with U.S. Custom Harvesters is a project we're working on.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about just the business of custom harvesting. What are some of the biggest challenges of these family-run, you know, businesses, these entrepreneurs? What challenges do they work without or throughout the year?
Lots of challenges. Yeah. Probably first and foremost is labor.
Yeah.
Finding enough help, qualified help to work with us, for us. That's probably our biggest challenge. And then, of course, the weather is always a challenge for us as we're trying to harvest crops for other farmers and do it in a timely manner.
Right.
When they want it done, and trying to meet everybody's expectations. But really, honestly, labor is a huge, huge issue today.
And there's a topic, or there's a speaker coming in, as I understand, that's going to address that, correct? And especially in light of all the things going with ICE and DHS and everything. Yep. So what's the political climate look like in that regard, and how is it impacting custom harvesters?
There's been some stuff at the federal level in the last few years that have really made it difficult for us to bring in what would be considered H-2A employees.
Okay.
The laws have made it very, very difficult to do that in an economical way. You can still do it, but it's extremely expensive. And it's made us, for better or for worse, we really have to focus more on American workers, especially in my instance. I'm not willing to go through all the red tape that the government requires us to do for H-2A employees. So we are hiring American-only workers.
Okay.
And sometimes that's a challenge.
Sure. So I really think that's probably the direction things are headed with this America First president. There's probably going to be more of that. I'm guessing there's going to be some pain before it gets better. So the speaker that's going to be presenting on this topic, or I guess just the way the organization or you look at it, how do custom harvesters or anyone really in agriculture industry, how do they recruit good American workers then?
Honestly, the social media goes a long ways, but that has its limitations. Yeah, you reach out to a lot of different people, but oftentimes you get people that apply that have no background, no real world experience. Honestly, for us, word of mouth is our best form of advertising. We get an employee that's happy with their position, they're happy working for us, and they refer a friend or friend of a friend, that sort of thing. But that also has limitations.
Right, right. Yeah, well, and it's a specific skill, too, you're looking for, and very expensive equipment and all the things. So
yeah,
I get that. So I guess on the policy side of things, what other policy issues or discussions are kind of top of mind right now?
Labor is big, of course. Environmental stuff is always big, especially for our manure hauling part of the group. They're always contending with the latest regs coming from the state and the federal level for manure application. Some of that ruling makes sense, some of it's common sense, and some of it is not.
Right.
So some of the not common sense stuff is a challenge to contend with, and sometimes we have to lobby back and push back a little
bit. You just said a mouthful about politics right now. That's absolutely how it goes. Yeah. So right now on the Wisconsin legislative session, when does that happen?
I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I'm not involved with the Wisconsin legislation a whole lot because I'm not from Wisconsin. I'm from Illinois.
Oh, okay. I'm totally asking you the wrong thing then. All right.
But as a group, we do. I personally don't get involved with it too much just because it doesn't affect me directly.
Sure. Illinois is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, it's we don't want to go there.
Well, it's interesting, the bill that we just defeated in South Dakota that I was talking about in this session, the RL21 that would have taken away local control and kind of rubber stamped this carbon pipeline project. I was speaking in Illinois and I learned that only 4 states in the country have a law like this. And it was Illinois and New York, California and Michigan. And I went back to South Dakota and I said, I don't think we want to go in the direction of any of those 4 states, quite frankly, but it's always eye-opening to travel the country and listen to the different policy fights that are impacting the farmers and ranchers and business owners in this country.
Yeah, and it's interesting for me to come to these events and be on the board and talk to fellow members of the organization, because what some of the issues that they deal with in Wisconsin, I deal with totally different things in Illinois.
Sure.
Somebody in Michigan or Minnesota will be something different yet. It's always interesting, fun, challenging to compare notes. And it's like, I can't believe I have to deal with that. But I have to deal with this.
Right, yes.
At Radke Land and Cattle, we proudly use Advanced Ag Products BioReg Plus. With its proprietary coating technology for slow release of essential oils in the lower GI tract, BioReg Plus products are designed and proven to help beef producers with overall performance, feed intake, gut integrity, nutritional support, immunity, fertility, and reproductive health. With the rising cost of beef cattle production today, having optimal performance and minimizing health challenges in every head counts. Learn more at bioreg.com and tell them Amanda sent you.
The Heart of Rural America is presented to you by CK6 Consulting Services. I have the great pleasure of working alongside the CK6 team, including Chris Earle, Wes Tiemann, and Cody Fleeman, and it's an honor to assist cattle producers as they strive to meet their business goals. With a purebred Angus specialization, we have a full slate of auction sales coming up as we work to maximize price discovery and capture true value for our clients and customers. Plus, let us help you identify your next herd sire for the upcoming breeding season. At CK6 Source, you'll find great customer service, fast shipping, and a focus on leading Angus genetics. Learn more about what we do at ck6consulting.com and ck6source.com. We would love to assist you any way we can. God bless.
So I guess maybe talk a little bit, and we'll talk about your operation as well, but maybe some of the highlights of the conference, different speakers, kind of the messages that the attendees are hearing about during this symposium.
A lot of it is business practices, best management practices for our businesses. That's always a big part of this conference. Discussion like your topics, how do we advocate for agriculture? How do we stay positive when things aren't necessarily going our way within our businesses? And then there's also a lot of educational information on the actual production of crops, forages, and that sort of thing. And that's really driven by the MFA side of it.
Sure.
The WCO side, we focus a little bit more on the business side for the conference.
Sure. Well, so I kicked off the conference and I'm like, you know, 8:30 a.m. or 8 o'clock a.m. talking about managing stress. This is going to go over like a lead balloon because, well, I got in late last night. I saw everybody was having a good time. And I'm like, now I'm going to lecture you in the morning about stress relief. But the things I wanted to impress upon the group, because I've been to enough of these conferences and I hear some of the speakers that talk about stress management. And when they start talking about getting your stress balls and putting a plant in your office, I'm like, you don't know the weight of the stress that people like this are actually carrying around. And there's no stress ball that's going to alleviate some of the concerns there. So do you feel like, I guess, obviously during harvest season is a stressful time. Is there some things that you guys think about as far as stress management goes is in your day to day? I'm just kind of wondering if anything I said landed today.
Well, I'll be honest. I missed part of your stress management early on. I was dealing with another issue, but yeah, I mean, harvest is for us is the highest stress point of the year.
Yeah.
You're trying to schedule myself personally in the fall. We try to harvest for over 50 different farmers in about a 7-week period.
Okay.
So we're trying to figure out logistics, where we're going, what we're harvesting, how much we're going to harvest. There's just a lot of stuff that goes on. And then we're also dealing with the weather at the same time. So that's a very stressful time of the year. The rest of the year, yeah, there's stress. It's not to the same extent.
Yep.
But that's the day-to-day business stress, worrying about financials. Did I make the right decisions?
Yeah.
Am I making the right decision?
Yep.
Purchasing equipment like you were talking about this morning,
that
sort of thing. And then just dealing with employees and families and all that good stuff, that stress that goes with it.
And that's kind of what I tried to impress upon in my message was we've kind of been conditioned as a society that stress is bad, that it's something you should get rid of and we should live like this comfortable, well-balanced life. Like people ask me, Amanda, how do you balance it all? And I say, I don't. There's seasons where it's really hard and it's go, go, go. And then you need to find seasons of rest or prioritizing, you know, the other things in your life that matters. But I had said in my message this morning, probably before you came in, that if we lean into the stress of like the busy season of harvest and it's those pain points and those pressure points, that's when you can elevate your business. It kind of separates the men from the boys too.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you don't have some stress in your life in this type of business anyway, then you're not doing anything.
You're not making any money. No. And that's, I was like, stress is fine, but it is. And hard things happen, obviously, in our business, whether it's equipment breakdowns or unexpected bills, or all of a sudden it's raining for a week and you can't get in the fields. And then it's, okay, how do we manage this stress? So that was my second point, was being able to be flexible in business and pivot and kind of figure it out. But some things are just very much outside of your control. And then it comes to a mindset of, well, negativity and being pessimistic is very contagious, but so is being joyful and optimistic. Oh, yes. So can you find the joy when everything is going wrong? And that's the tricky part.
Yeah. And if there's one thing that I've learned over the years is you can't take what's going on day to day personally.
Yep.
This is a business. This is not, we're not working with the customers as friends. This is a business.
Yep.
You can't take these comments that are made to you personally.
Right.
Somebody will make a comment to you in stress.
And
they didn't mean it personally.
So right.
Let it go.
Yep. I always think if someone's being mean to me, it usually means it's a reflection of something they have going on in their life, not anything to do with me. So maybe they've just been sitting in the combine too long and they're growly and they need a snack and a nap. And it's not a me thing. It's a you thing, you know, but it's there's been some really good questions and some good conversation here in the sessions that I've really appreciated. Let's, I guess, maybe switch gears and talk a little bit about your family business, what you do and how long you've been doing it.
So we're a custom forage harvesting business out of northwestern Illinois. We've been in business since 2011. We really came into the business totally by mistake or totally by accident. Yeah. This was probably a better way of putting it. We had a friend/neighbor that my son worked for. that was having a real difficult time getting somebody to come in and do harvest work for him. He made an off-the-cuff comment, "You need to buy a piece of equipment and do this work for me. I'll hire you." And a few months later, we owned a piece of equipment and we started doing some custom round baling. Hey, that was in 2011. Our business has grown almost exponentially every year since then. We have over 85 customers that we work for throughout the season. We do large square baling. We do forage chopping. We offer a full service of forage harvesting. We are typically within about 2 hours of home.
Okay.
So my crew and myself, we're able to go home every night. We don't spend time on the road currently. That's probably going to change in the future, but currently we're always home. But yeah, we service the northeastern corner of Illinois. Okay. Actually, we actually go all the northern part of Illinois. We travel almost to Chicago.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, so we get to the outskirts of Chicago with a few of our customers.
Okay, so talking about the business side of things, I think business is transferable to no matter what industry you're in, what kind of business. So maybe do you have some advice on managing just the size and scope of what you're doing, the people, the finances, the flow of training, all the things? There's so many pieces to a small business in
all
this
the
country.
Things you're not taught.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur too. And it's like, I don't remember like the things I need on a day-to-day basis to run my businesses. I never learned in school. I've learned by doing it wrong and then figuring it out.
That's my wife's favorite little saying is, well, I never learned this in school, but
yep.
They didn't teach us this. As far as growing your business or running your business, I guess my biggest piece of advice, or the advice that was given to me and I've tried to live by it, is don't get too big too quick. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to manage what you have.
Yep.
You have to be able to manage what you have well. If you can't manage what you have currently, it's not going to get better by getting bigger.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And so then as you're growing, then if it's not too fast, if it's the right pace, what are you doing incrementally to scale then?
That's the biggest challenge in our business. And it really, for us in our business, it always comes down to equipment.
Yeah.
We're a very equipment driven business.
Right. We have
lots and lots of money tied up in equipment. And it's always a balancing act between, I need a bigger piece of equipment, but I need a bigger job, or I need more work to pay for that.
Right.
But I can't take the bigger job because I don't have the bigger piece of equipment.
Right.
Or I don't have enough employees.
Yeah. Have the manpower to drive it. Yep.
And it's always the chicken and the egg sort of deal.
Sure.
So sometimes you just have to step out in faith. I mean, that's all you can do. But you always try to plan as much as possible and work out as many scenarios as you can beforehand.
Right. Yeah, I think discernment is really important in business.
Yes.
Because if you make the wrong move, it can cost you a lot.
Oh, yes.
And you've probably made mistakes too along the way where it's
every day.
Yep. I always tell people like it's good to fail. Like failing is okay. It means you're trying, but you better figure it out really fast and fail forward and make sure you don't make that same mistake over and over again. So
you don't get to wallow in pity if you fail. You have to turn around and do something different.
Yep. Like, okay, now we have to compensate for that very costly mistake. Yes.
You guys know, as a beef girl, I take grilling very seriously around here. And I've been using Redmond Real Salt for over a decade to season my steaks and burgers. It's unrefined, ancient sea salt, exactly as nature made it. It contains 60-plus naturally occurring trace minerals, and it truly brings out the best of the beef we raise at home on the ranch. This American family-owned business also focuses on livestock products. And at Radke Land and Cattle, we are proud to use the beneficial Redmond Real Salt minerals to get back to the basics and help our cattle improve fertility, immunity, and feed efficiency. It's natural, simple, and effective for people and livestock. Discover more at redmondagriculture.com and redmondlife.com and use code RADKEY to save. Or contact a local dealer and mention my name for a special discount. Working cattle can be stressful at times, but the job is made so much easier with equipment that is safe, strong, and simply designed. I highly recommend Real Tough Livestock Equipment for all your working facility needs. We just installed the Deluxe Chute at Radke Land and Cattle, and it has been an absolute game changer as we run cows through our chute during AI season. It's durable and easy to use, and it's made to last a lifetime. Real Tough offers a wide range of products, including calving barns, panels, loading chutes, tubs, alleys, and portable working systems. Manufactured in the U.S. of A., RealTough is family-owned and operated. Their commitment to helping farm and ranch families truly exemplifies what this show is all about. Learn more at realtough.com, that's T-U-F-F, and be sure to tell them Amanda sent you to receive an extra bonus with your order. Let's get you some iconic green RealTough equipment headed your way. I promise you're going to love it.
So just give us a forecast. We have a new president, kind of new things happening in the news. What does that look like for your industry?
There's some unknowns. I mean, the agriculture world could be changing, especially the dairy industry with some tariffs potentially in Canada. I don't know what that's all going to look like. My part of the world, my business is going to be isolated from that a little bit. My clientele is primarily beef, cow calf, and then finished beef.
Okay.
We do a lot of work for small cow calf producers, so they may have 30 to 50 cows.
Sure.
We do a little bit of silage for them to get them through the winter. And then we have some finished beef operations. Okay. So they have confinement finished beef.
Sure.
That market for the last year and for the foreseeable future looks really good. So I'm a little isolated from some of the highs and lows.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of my clients, they're in this for the long haul.
Sure, you sure. Know,
the number of animals are not going to swing. The number of acres that we're going to harvest are not going to swing a lot. So sure. I'm isolated from that
yeah.
to a certain degree.
Right, right. Well, and I wanted to ask you earlier about the manure side of the membership that's represented too. Where the last 4 years, I know you had said there's some difficult policies that made it challenging. Do you see shifts there?
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
The organization is always trying to help lobby or push for common sense legislation yeah. when it comes to manures application. A lot of the manure stuff in Wisconsin will happen at the county level.
Okay.
So that's where we have to get involved at the county level sometimes. Our members do. So it's really hard to say what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just don't know.
Yeah. Well, so, and I talked about that in my second session of it got to be, I opened it up for questions and it started getting pretty political in nature, which is always fun and exciting, you know, stimulating. But the question got talking about DC and what's going to change there. And I do think really there's a lot of power in what can be done at a local level.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I guess talk to me a little bit more about how the organization gets involved on a local level.
Well, I was just having a discussion with our vice president, Jeremy, and he was talking about another organization of farmers in the northeastern corner of Wisconsin. That particular county that he lives and is involved in had a really bad reputation for water quality, and a lot of it was being directed back at the manure application. And so the political climate was, hey, the dairy farmers are causing this water quality issue, so on and so forth.
Sure.
The farmers and the applicators formed a group. They started having meetings. They came up with ideas. They came up with policies to, sure. to help, you know, improve their image, improve the water quality. And he was just telling me now the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources in that area, is actually coming to them for advice on policies.
Hey, I love that. That's great. But yeah, you have to be a resource. You have to be yep. organized. You have to put in the man hours. And yep. then all of a sudden, you're a part of the conversation instead of on the menu.
Yeah, so that they have become the experts in the field.
Sure.
And so now the county and the state is actually coming to them and asking for opinions. So that's the kind of stuff that we like to do.
Yeah, and that can be duplicated in any county or township across America. Yeah. I feel like there's always the armchair quarterbacks that want to talk about what's happening in Washington, D.C., but unless you're out there lobbying or have an in, you're not really impacting policy there. But no. at home, you can change a lot of things for the better, for the good, especially when you're locking arm with your neighbors and people invested in the community. And like I said, like you said many times, getting back to common sense stuff yeah. that can only be found at a grassroots level.
Yeah, we have the same issues in my area. I have one of my good customers. He runs a finished beef operation. He got on the county board. We have numerous conversations about, hey, this needs to be addressed. This is not common sense laws that are coming out of the county area, you know, the county courthouse. And so It is. It's local level is where you're going to make the biggest difference and quickest.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we're kind of, we're getting to lunch hour. People are starting to mill around a little bit. And I guess before we wrap, is there anything else you're looking forward to? This is just the first day. There's a whole nother day of programming. Yep. Is there anything you're really looking forward to in the symposium that is exciting?
Yeah, actually, I have some friends of mine that are going to be presenting later this afternoon on making good financial business decisions.
Okay.
Which may not sound very exciting to many people, but when you're a business owner, and especially in a business like this where you're spending tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars buying equipment, it's always nice to get another perspective on how do you make those decisions.
Right. Well, that kind of piques my interest. That is, I mean, that's the most important part. We talk about sustainability a lot, right? In the news and politicians. And I always say, well, you can talk about sustainability all day long, but a family farmer ranch or ag enterprise is not profitable. They're not sustainable. That's so right. Do you have a preview maybe of what will be discussed? Any tidbits in this session?
I know Seth is going to be talking about how he approaches making financial decisions and how he determines if he's profitable at the end of the day. Because in this business, as you well know, being in farm and ranch, you can make your tax return kind of look the way you want it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
But you really have to make money at the end of the day. Otherwise, this is just a really expensive hobby.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I had a gentleman come and talk to me about like, oh, I just feel bad. He sells local beef and I just feel bad charging people for it. I want to be a charitable Christian. And we had this great conversation about like, well, you'll no longer be in the cattle business and the beef business if you're bleeding red every year. So exactly. I believe like if you can be successful in business and be a good steward of the treasures that you can, you know, acquire in that business, then you can also go and do good things in your community with the success that you have. So it was just an interesting conversation that came from the session that I found to be kind of stimulating just to think about the thought process there.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's one of the big ones I'm looking forward to. And then tomorrow morning we'll have, I can't remember his last name, Tom, the dairy coach, will do a presentation on employee retention. So that will also be a great presentation.
Oh, yes. Tom Wall. Yes. Go. Yes. Yes. So why they should stay. Yeah. And I think that's well, like you said, the political arena that's changing is going to impact a lot of businesses as well. And it's also a question I would have multi-generation family businesses ask, like, why should the kids stay involved? What motivates them to stay? And it isn't just for the love of the game all the time either. No. So yeah, it's kind of communicating the, I know I've studied this not from a overseas worker program or anything, but from like recruiting employees in the businesses I have too. It's a lot of younger people want something that they feel connected to or that represents their values, or it's more than just the pay. It's quality of the work and that's something they feel passionate about. So how can you get your employees to be invested in the outcome or feel like they're part of something bigger than themselves?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we see that in the employees that we end up hiring. It's interesting the priorities of some of the younger employees. Their priorities are not the same as mine were at that age.
Yeah.
But it's fun because they really want to be part of the family, if you will,
yep.
The business. And so one of the ways we actually try to foster that family feeling is my wife, every evening, she brings out a home-cooked meal to the field. And that just gets us a chance to share a meal together and be family.
Yeah.
And it goes a long ways.
It's something so simple though, right? It's
yeah.
Just, but that is, it's
simple for us, but not for her.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the real MVP. I've gone through that. I've talked to my husband. We have help on the ranch too. And I find myself, it's like, yeah, I need to free up my time so I can run other aspects of the business. But then I find myself spending a lot of time prepping these meals for all the people. And it's like, oh, like that. How do I get that time back then too? So it's no, I totally get what she's going through, but it's a labor of love too, and a way to make people feel like they're a part of something.
But the part of it that she enjoys is not only supplying us with a meal, but then the time that she's able to interact with the employees and have a chance to have a discussion with them and share a meal. There's just something about sharing a meal with a group of people and you become more connected doing
it. Yeah, you have that camaraderie or you can hear the grievances, but it's in a more casual setting. You can fix things, get ahead of things. Any business, it's about the people really and who you can serve, who you can bring on to your team. I've got a great business mentor who said, you can be really successful on your own, but that's not really a life worth living. It's who you can bring along the way that makes it really rewarding. So
exactly.
Well, wonderful. Well, I've just really enjoyed the conversation today. If folks want to follow the work that the organization is doing, where can they follow along? Facebook or websites or?
Facebook, you can look up Wisconsin Custom Operators. You can also Google Wisconsin Custom Operators. By all means, check us out. If you're interested in attending the symposium next year, anybody's open. It's open to membership. You have to be a member to attend.
Okay.
But that's an easy process and everybody's welcome to come attend symposium.
Wonderful. Well, it's been an honor to have you. And I just was delighted to be able to join the symposium. I want to thank the Midwest Forage Association and Wisconsin Custom Operators for having me, for the opportunity to speak to the membership. And this is, you guys have just done an incredible job of creating a really cool experience for your members.
Well, thank you for coming. We enjoyed it.
Wonderful. Well, I'm Amanda Radke. Until next week, we'll see you on the Dusty Trail. This is the heart of rural America. Take care.
While I've got you here, I would love to invite you to check out my website, AmandaRadke.com. Each week, I share my column, this podcast, and new items to shop for farm and ranch families, including my children's books that celebrate agriculture. Use code DUSTYTRAIL to save 15% on your next purchase. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for supporting my small business and for your continued support in keeping me on the road fighting for farm and ranch families. I'm thankful to each and every one of you who tune into this show each week. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review to let me know how you're liking the content and our guests. Until the next time we meet on the Dusty Trail, I'm Amanda Radke, and this is the heart of rural America.